Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Ursula Rudenberg. Hello, Ursula.
Hello, Susan, and hello to you, the listener. We want to start out with an invitation. We are planning a party on April 19th to celebrate the completion of our broadcast and recording studios here at the Pantorium. So mark your calendar because you are invited, of course. What would a community radio station be without the community? So mark your calendars. That's Saturday evening at 6 p.m. on the 19th of April at our station in the old Ames Pantorium building at 410 Douglas in Ames. Susan, this morning I noticed for the first time that when I went out to the car, usually it's silent when I go out. And this morning when I went out, there was this whole racket going on. There were all these birds singing. So it really, something really has changed. And the one I love the most, the one that goes, Phoebe, he was really dominating today, the Phoebe.
Yes.
So do you have a weather report for us?
Yes, I have a weather report that's different from what I heard when I came out of my house a few blocks away. I heard a big clap of thunder and saw the sky light
That's
up.
Right.
Yes. So today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 69. Windy. Winds could gust as high as 41 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 40%. I think we've already hit that. We've already had a little precipitation. New rainfall amounts of less than an inch, less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Before 7 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 25. Windy with gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 44. Wind gusts could get as high as 32 miles per hour. And Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 32.
Thank you, Susan. And this is the time in our program when we usually have a phenology report from Patch Larbaum. But last week he suggested that we call some local birders for reports. Did you find anybody?
My favorite phenology birder named Wolf Osterreich. He couldn't be with us this morning, and I have to tell you why. I don't quite understand what he told me. He said he was hand-harvesting corn this morning. So when he comes on live, we can ask what he does. I'm so pleased, though, to get to describe him because he's the most significant serious birder that I meet on a regular basis. In good weather, my husband Fritz and I walk out at Ada Hayden Park every day. He recognizes Wolf Osterreich when he's bicycling around Ada Hayden, which he does every single day, counting birds, to, you know, taking a bird census for the day. So I thought he was the best person to give us a real phenology report because I think that's what they do. When they are collecting phenology, they really record day by day. And so I called him up and he said, well, today, which was a beautiful day, as you would remember, that the white-throated sparrows were back. And that's a big thing. And then we discussed a bird that we just saw for the first time last week, but he said they've been around for a while, the red-winged blackbirds. And those are fun because anybody can recognize them. And there are lots of them most of the time. But he mentioned another bird that is more the kind of bird that Pat focuses on. It's the rusty blackbird. And it's special because to see them at all is important because their numbers are dropping. And so, but I'll tell you, Fritz showed me the rusty blackbird in Sibley's Bird Guide last night, and I sure couldn't tell it from any other blackbird. So it's always good to get reports from those who really, really love the birds enough to watch them every day. But since you're probably not going out today to see that white-throated sparrow, I will give you a wonderful website that you can check. adahaydenpark.blogspot.com. We'll put that on our website. But it has beautiful photographs and regular reports.
That's A-D-A-H-A-Y-D-E-N park.blogspot.com. phenologyreport.com.
Thank you, Ursula.
Thank you, Susan, for the Phenology Report. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Later on in the show, we will be talking to members of Iowa Artists who are producing a regional art exhibit this month showing work of Central Iowa artists. But first, we want to start talking about the Sesquicentennial today. Ames is 150 years old, and we will begin previewing some of how this is going to be celebrated this year.
Last month, State Senator Herman Quirnbach sponsored a Senate resolution number 111 to officially mark the sesquicentennial anniversary of the city of Ames. On March 11th, the Iowa Senate unanimously approved the resolution and invited, quote, all Iowans to participate in this year-long celebration of the history of the city of Ames. Here's a clip of Senator Quirnbach telling us about the resolution and subsequent celebration of Ames Day at the State Capitol Building.
You have another resolution that interests us right now, and that is the resolution about the sesquicentennial of Ames, or I guess, where are we calling it, the 150th birthday?
Yes, it's the 150th birthday.
What is this resolution, and what was the occasion of your presenting it?
Well, every year, the last several years, the Ames Chamber of Commerce and people from the city have come down to the legislature, and we've had Ames Day at the Capitol. Well, this year, in honor of the sesquicentennial, I'll pronounce that slowly, we had a resolution. I did a resolution in the Senate. It was back in 1864, in December, that the first 12 blocks of the city of Ames were platted and recorded. And that was 150 years ago, and the city is going to be celebrating its 150th birthday all year long. So there's going to be a special expanded 4th of July festival. There's going to be, in the autumn, a Dinky Days celebration, you know, the little railroad that ran between the center of town and campus. And in December, there will be a Platting Day festivities. So that looks like a very interesting year. Gave us a chance to write up a resolution touting all of Ames' wonderful qualities, the home of Iowa State University, of course. The resolution says it's the biggest university in the state. I was modest. I should have said the best as well. But it recognized, and it mentioned some of the ways in which the city of Ames has been recognized for its livability, for the best small places for business and careers, for its retirement. The quality of life here is really quite terrific, and it was a great pleasure for me to be able to get the Senate of the state to acknowledge that.
Now, you said that Ames Day has been carried on for several years. Could you describe Ames Day? It sounded like a fun event.
Well, indeed it is. The Chamber and a number of its member organizations come down to the Capitol. They have set up displays along one of the corridors leading off of the rotunda. And so the Ames Municipal Electric had a display, the REG had a display, the university, there's several private businesses. So people got a good chance to see what's going on in Ames. And, of course, we had a great attraction because down at the end of that corridor, after people had filed past all these wonderful displays, waiting at the end to reward them was lunch from Hickory Park. So we had a very long line of people, and they all learned a lot about Ames, and they also had a good lunch out of it.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and thank you very much.
Well, I sponsored the resolution. It's the chamber and the city and the whole community who are involved in the sesquicentennial.
So major planning is happening and has been happening this past week, so we invited members of the committee to come today and tell us what's in store for 2014 celebration-wise. Carol Claus is here with us, and she's a member of the Sesquicentennial Committee, and Casey Vance is here, also as a member of the Planning Committee, as well as the director of the new Ames History Center. Welcome, Carolyn and Casey.
Thank you for inviting us to promote the sesquicentennial. You can spell it as many ways as you can say it also.
So, who is on the planning committee?
Last July, the city had brought together many people, and there was a large group then, and from that, a steering committee was formed, and there's about 15 to 20 people on that original steering committee, from community volunteers to chamber people to people like Casey who have a real vested interest in the history of Ames. So
So this is a citizen committee. You've been meeting for about half a year now, regularly?
We meet about every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so there's about 20 people on the committee?
Right.
That's correct.
We're lucky if, you know, half of them get there, so, because many of them work. So
why don't you describe a little bit how you're going about planning the celebrations?
We started off with, what do we want to do? Do we want to do something just with the sesquicentennial, or do we want to partner with other events that are part of Ames, the Art Festival, or the 4th of July, or events in campus town? And we decided to go with the 4th of July as our major event weekend. So,
why did you choose the 4th of July?
It's just an easy way. We didn't want to compete with other events either. So
there is no official date that stands by itself.
The actual 150th anniversary is on December 17th, mm-hmm. but that's a Wednesday in the middle of December. So I think that's kind of also why we went for the 4th of July as the main event, just because it was a good thing to piggyback off of, and it's nicer weather.
December 17th is kind of at the end of the year, too,
yeah.
So it's last minute.
You wouldn't want to plan an outdoor event on December 17th, so...
Well, I think the 4th of July is a great choice.
Besides, December 17th is right in the middle of the Christmas rush. The founding of the city of Ames sort of gets lost in there.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what's planned.
On the 4th of July, we'll start out that weekend on the 3rd with a party at Ryman Gardens. With the band concert will be at Ryman Gardens on Thursday night. There's going to be birthday cake. We're hoping to have a barbecue along with that. You know, some of that's still in the planning stages of who volunteers and steps up for some of these duties, and the university is working with that as well. That'll be a fun evening, so plan to go to the gardens early, enjoy the gardens, enjoy Iowa State University, and you can leave your evening off with a bang with all the fireworks on that evening. So
that's kind of the kickoff evening.
That's the kickoff for the weekend.
Well, Sheila Lunt, who couldn't be here this morning, because she's picking out trees, asked me to ask Carolyn to tell you about the event that comes before the 4th of July.
Right. Part of the steering committee's group was the Legacy Committee, and we have chosen two legacies. One are the trees, and we'll be planting 150 trees in the parks in Ames, more in some places, and people who have donated to a special tree will have a plaque that they have donated to have that tree in their name at that park. Maybe it's a park across from their home where their children played, and that's special to them. The tree planting will take place on August 26th. As Sheila put it, a little rain will not stop us, but thunderstorms will force us to go to our rain day, which is Sunday, the next day. The reason is you can't wait after the trees have been put in their locations for planting. You don't want them to dry out, and mm-hmm. they have to be taken care of. So we are looking for volunteers to help with the tree planting. And you can go to the Ames150.com website and sign up to volunteer to help plant the trees. It'll start around 1 o'clock that day at the different parks.
Do you by any chance know what kind of trees they're planning to plant?
Oh, I have that list also. Here we go. There's different types of oaks, hackberries, London plane trees, new hybrids of elms, lindens, honey locusts, birches, and flowering trees. So
nice.
There's a nice variety.
Very nice.
The largest groups of trees are going to go with, they're trying to make a canopy at the Ada Hayden Heritage Park. So 20 of them will go with that park itself. So
the canopy will be over the sidewalk?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Sheila has worked with some local greenhouses or landscapers and with the city to position where the trees will be going.
That's very nice.
Yes. I'll let Casey tell about the other legacy project.
The other legacy project is a history trailer, actually. So that'll be run by the Historical Society. It'll just be a good way to get Ames history out into the community, and we'll take it to events like block parties, schools, and other community events.
And what will be in the trailer?
We're hoping to have mostly artifacts that can be handled by the public, so it'll be kind of a hands-on experience.
How big will it be?
I think it'll be similar in size to the trailer that goes to the parties that the city has, something similar to that. So it'll be a open it up, and there's an Ames history party inside for people to learn more about it.
That's very nice. I really like that idea.
I know there are also some other events, and I believe, Carolyn, you told me you were chair of the Chautauqua Committee. Tell us about the Chautauqua. Oh,
the city people will be doing their annual pancake breakfast on the 4th of July that morning. That's the 4th of July. And then there will be the parade, and Main Street's going to be closed off with a stage on the east end, and there will be a family fun area for a block in there where children can do many activities and fun things. So as soon as the parade's over, people can stay downtown and have a fun day. The committee that I'm in charge of is a Chautauqua. Chautauqua started from Chautauqua, New York, where it is a tent that was set up in the summertime for education and learning, religion, politics, all those things. People could reserve times for that community. It caught on and went across the country, and they're very popular for many years. Ames had a Chautauqua tent for 23 years. Annually, and it started in the Brookside Park area, and then they built a permanent one where the Lincoln Center Mall was. There was a permanent one there until 1926.
So at the corner of Grand and Lincoln Way, really?
Yes, mm-hmm. In that area.
Yeah.
And then it became part of the school building. So, but anyway, it's no longer there. So we decided we would bring back the Chautauqua for the sesquicentennial. There was a Chautauqua also for the centennial 50 years ago.
So what role did the Chautauqua play in a community? Since it had a permanent place in the community, what did they use it for?
Education, entertainment. Thousands of people would come and gather at that to Billy Sunday was one of the more important figures. William Jennings Bryant came and spoke. We had four presidents speak in the Chautauqua here in Ames. So it was
it's almost like a town square.
Exactly, which we don't have. Mm-hmm. So yeah. We needed a Chautauqua in the summertime. Mm-hmm. But the Chautauqua is going to be all day Saturday in the Banshell Park. Our theme for our Chautauqua is coming home. We have contacted people who have graduated from Ames and gone on to be performers in orchestras, singing, dancing, to come home and perform for their hometown. And we've got several of those coming. So we're doing a fashion show of Victorian clothes, clothes from the 60s. So it'll be very interesting. We have some storytellers that will be telling some interesting stories about Ames. We have a couple political invitees that we'll see what they want to talk about. We've asked, Stefan Schmidt, and he's just looking for his topic right now. So,
before we leave the events for the sesquicentennial, aren't there some other music events that aren't involved with the Chautauqua? There's a second stage, and can you tell me something about that?
That's the headliner stage, and it's on the east end of Main Street, facing west down Main Street. And they're working to secure a variety of musical talent for that. And it will go from probably 1 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Friday, and kind of the same hours on Saturday. And it'll culminate with, we're hoping, a really get-out-the-people group both nights.
So, where did you say that would be located?
the east end of Main Street.
I have a question, because my understanding is some of these groups might have pretty loud amplification. Is there going to be any sound competition between that stage and the Chautauqua?
Because the speakers will be going west, I do not foresee that being a problem. It's probably no worse than the trains. There's competition all the time.
Many times a day.
Yes. So, you know, you go to a band concert and they start your favorite song and here comes the train. So, but we will be very compatible.
Carolyn, why did you get involved with this?
I love Ames, Iowa. This has been my home for the last 43 years, and why not give back? And I won't be here for the bicentennial. The chances of that are not very good. So we want to make Ames a very good place to come to and see the history of Ames. The Ames Foundation, I've been on that board for the last 5 years, and we always work to make Ames a better place. That's kind of our motto. And that board, we adopted the sesquicentennial as one of our main projects for the year, and we have several board members that are working on the main committee.
Well, I'd like to put in a little special KHOI touch on this, because in talking to Carol Horowitz, who has a program every 2 weeks on KHOI, KHOI Previews the Arts, she mentioned that she was involved in the centennial, and I think she's still working with you, is that right?
Yes, she's on my Chautauqua committee. So my Chautauqua committee is four fabulous ladies besides myself: Carol Horowitz, Diane Wilson, Ronnie Lindemann, and Phyllis Craig. Thank you so very much. But with the centennial, Carol, as soon as I asked her, she said yes, and she has such good contact with talent and people who have been here, so that makes it very special. But we are looking for people to come to the Chautauqua on Saturday afternoon who were here for the centennial. The chances of them being here for the bicentennial are not real good either. But we want to recognize them, and I'm sure if they were here for the centennial and they're here for the sesquicentennial, they also love Ames.
So why do you love Ames?
It's been very good to me and my family. It's got entertainment. It's got sports. It's just a good place to live. And look forward to opportunities to help with the sesquicentennial. There will be many for the Ames community people to participate.
So how does someone get involved?
You can go to the Ames 150 website. So, and we can find a place and get you directed. You can start off by helping with the tree planting. Web Filings did a major donation for the trees, and many of their employees will be participating in that tree planting that day. So if you're wanting to see who those people are that are working down at Web Filings, come and plant a tree.
The date of the tree planting is?
April 26th, with a rain date of April 27th. They'll plant them in the rain on the 26th if it's just raining, but if there's thunder and lightning, they would not.
So. Okay, great. Any other last words before you head out?
Well, happy birthday, Ames. And we hope to be back here on KHOI when we have more specific times and announcement of events.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
There is a sideline. And this is a group of people who said we should do a cemetery walk. And so on September 21st, I'm working with a committee, and we're going to be doing a cemetery walk of, well, we've chosen 15 different early residents of Ames to tell their story and present the cemetery walk.
Are they all in the same cemetery?
Well, there's a couple that are out in the ISU cemetery, but most of them are in the Ames Municipal Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun learning about these people.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure
you find out what the names of the streets in town, who they were named after. So
you've learned a lot about Ames in doing this.
thank you so much for coming in today and giving us a preview of this whole year.
I just hope I can get you excited about the whole year.
Well, please keep coming.
Because there's a lot to do. Yeah. I will be back. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. And I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Susan Franson.
We have been speaking with Carolyn Klaus, and we'll be speaking with Casey Vance from the Planning Committee for the Ames Sesquicentennial Celebration. And we've just had a preview of all of some of the things coming up. But now that Carolyn is leaving us, we'll turn to Casey. Thank you for joining us. And you are the new director of the Ames History Center, is that right?
Yep.
And obviously, the Ames History Center has a lot to do with to provide us with information that will bring history to life. So what are you planning?
Well, we have a lot of stuff planned, actually, for the sesquicentennial this year. We're doing a lot of new events, one of which is an ice cream social, which will be on June 21st. And then we're doing a lot of new workshops. We did one on photo preservation in February, and we're going to do another couple workshops this year. But the biggest thing we're planning, definitely, is two large exhibits, which will be at the Octagon Center for the Arts this fall. One of them is called Business Signs from Past Times, and that one will obviously feature business signs from Ames businesses, and that will be in the community gallery on the first floor, and that'll be open August 4th through September 27th. And then the other one is called Defining Ames, 150 Historic People, Places, and Events, and that one will be on the in the third floor gallery, on the main gallery and the Sweeney Gallery, and that one will be August 4th through October 25th.
And for kind of backing up a minute, the first thing you said was you were doing an ice cream social.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you doing that?
We're hoping to have it down here near the History Center. We haven't finalized the location yet.
And what exactly is an ice cream social?
Well, we're obviously going to have ice cream, and then we're planning to have some children's activities at the History Center and some other special presentations, and that will be just a way to thank our members and donors and the community in general for supporting us.
And also bring them down to the History Center.
Right.
Because, I mean, you really kind of should stop in at the History Center or the Octagon exhibit if you're down here eating ice cream.
Right.
Yeah. And are you're having an exhibit specific to this, all these events at the Ames History Center, or are you changing the exhibit at this Ames History Center at all during this year?
We have kind of a schedule of exhibits planned, and they correspond with our collections categories, and so one changes each month.
Uh-huh.
So you can come to the History Center over and over again, and there will be new stuff to see.
So what's on display this month?
Right now we have an exhibit about the Chautauqua, actually.
Right.
We have one about Ames High School. Let's see, we have one about farming. So.
Oh, this month?
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about the Chautauqua, since it's going to be featured during the festivities.
The Chautauqua during the 4th of July will be at the band shell. And, yeah, it was in Ames for about 25 or 30 years at the beginning of the 1900s. And that was just definitely a big place for the community to gather.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully on the 5th of July it'll be a place for the community to gather again.
So do you have some photographs of it?
Yes, we do. We have photographs, and we also have some programs and tickets, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
your 150 items, I know we've been talking about that because we'd like to partner with you in featuring some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we might ask for a sample, the first of the 150. Or
okay. The one I wanted to share today was number 5 in the exhibit, which is John Inslee Blair. And he was the chief engineer for the Cedar Rapids and Missouri River Railroad. And he traveled through here in 1863 and actually chose this location for a future depot. When he came through here, there wasn't much here. There were some pioneer cabins. And one of his reasons for choosing this location was the college, which was being built nearby. And then he came back the next year in 1864 and purchased land from local residents for the railroad's right-of-way. And then on December 17th, 1864, he platted the city. So he's very important to the beginning of our community. And actually, one of the largest artifacts we'll be displaying at the exhibit at the Octagon this fall is a large portrait of John Blair. And it's getting restored right now in Minneapolis. And so we're looking for some help funding that, actually.
So how did we get that? He didn't live here, so did he bequeath that to us, or did somebody say, oh, he's so important, where did we get it?
In 1880, he commissioned 5 portraits of himself, and this is one of those 5. It previously belonged to one of his relatives, and then it got to us through an organization in Des Moines that it had been given to, and then it hung at the library for several years, actually. And we just got it in 2012.
Now, as I understand it, he worked together closely with Cynthia Duff. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. That's actually who he purchased the land from in 1864.
As I understand it, actually, when he tried to buy land, he couldn't.
Right.
And so there was a little bit of a sleight of hand that occurred there.
Right. Cynthia Duff was one of the early residents here before the town was here. And she, after Blair had trouble purchasing land from some of the farmers, she purchased the land from them for her uncle coming from the east. And then the uncle turned out to be the railroad. So,
well, as we are reminded when we occasionally have flooding, the area of the first plat was a swamp. But, of course, it didn't look like a swamp when Blair bought it, I suppose. Could there have been a better location? I guess that's one of those things you can't go back
yeah.
and redo it.
Yeah.
But did this have anything to do, for example, with the land that he couldn't buy? Was he at all concerned with that? I mean, probably not, because you never think about something like that unless
yeah, I don't know that he even thought about it. But
he didn't.
And my impression was that folks just didn't want the railroad coming through here.
Sure.
Right.
And so they just didn't sell him the land.
Uh-huh.
So he was essentially a railroad developer.
Yes, he was. Yep.
And did he build towns in the rest of Iowa as well?
Yes, he's built a lot of towns in Iowa and Nebraska. For instance, Belle Plaine, Iowa, Blairsburg, Blairstown. And he named our town after one of his friends, Oaks Ames, who was a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a notorious congressman. Mm-hmm. Well, that will be another another one of the events we'll talk about, or the people, places. Actually, you sound like our local talk, people, places, and events. So what are yours for your 150?
What?
I thought I heard it's the people and events. Is that right? What else? Oh, I'm unfortunately didn't write that down. It was seemed so catchy. Oh, yes, that's just like us. But
yeah, but it's 150 people, places, and events.
Right. So, I think we're just a natural team.
So you'll come back a few times more between now and the 4th tell us some more about the events and peoples that help build AIMS. And the reason I know about Cynthia Duff and John Blair is because my mural painting partner and I painted the historical mural that's on the side of Lucullen's building, okay, in the Tom Evans Plaza. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see a picture of Mr. Blair on the wall there, which we took from a photograph of him. So what are you going to tell us about next time you come? Have you decided?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. How are you deciding the peoples and places and the events?
Well, we have a committee that's working on this, and we just kind of, it's evolved over the last several months. We've been planning this for about a year now. So, and actually, we've only picked 149 things, and the 150th one will be open for people to submit at the exhibit to see, you know, what we've missed or what do you think should be the 150th.
Oh, so when you hold the exhibit at the Octagon, mm-hmm, you'll have, in a sense, a vote there.
Yep.
Oh, and then how will you include it in the exhibit?
We'll probably just have all of the votes posted.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. What people feel is the most important event. Is there any event in particular that you like out of what you're doing?
Well, I'm really interested in the very early history. So, you know, John Blair, Oaks Ames, Cynthia Duff, where the first house was, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, did John Blair ever actually come to Ames and spend time here?
Not that I know of. Just the two times he was here in 1863 and 1864 before the town was really here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same with Oaks Ames. He never lived here, never came here, except he came through in 1863 with John Blair. That was the only time.
And he donated the bell.
That's right.
Which we'll hear about for another event, mm-hmm, right?
And it was Mr. Blair who decided to call Ames after Oaks Ames?
That's right. Cynthia Duff actually wanted the town to be named Onondaga after her home county in New York. But the compromise was that Blair got to name the town Ames and Cynthia got to name some of the streets, which, mm-hmm, is how we have Duff. Kellogg is her maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
Onondaga is what Main Street was called until 1910. And then there was also Pearl Street after her father, which is now one of the numbered streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a taste of what's to come. And could you tell us again when the exhibits will be held at the Octagon?
Mm-hmm. They both open on August 4th. And then the business signs one ends on September 27th. And the 150 exhibit ends on October 25th.
So the two exhibits are the 150 objects and events, mm-hmm, from Ames, or people and events in Ames. And the other exhibit is business signs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us just a little bit about that before you go.
That will be about 25 businesses. We have a pretty large collection of business signs that we've taken down as businesses closed, mostly. We just collected a bunch the last couple weeks from the campus town area as they're preparing to tear down those buildings. So this exhibit will feature around 25 businesses that have been in Ames over the years.
And what is the span of the years of the signs?
Oh, I would say probably mostly from the 50s to now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have our sign.
Okay.
We're keeping the Pantorium sign.
Wouldn't it be great if we could get it lit up by then?
It would. That would be great. Yeah, that would be very, very nice. Yeah. So are the signs interesting to look at?
Yeah. Yep. We picked specifically ones that are interesting. And I think if we can get them lit, some of them will be lit up also.
Some of them are neon signs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uh-huh. Very nice. And that's going to be upstairs in the Octagon?
The business signs one is on the first floor.
On the first floor.
The other one's upstairs.
Okay. Well, thank you. Is this... How is it for you guys working at the Ames Historical Society to be putting these exhibits together? It must be a lot.
Yeah, it's great. Definitely a busy year, though, for us, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We now are.
And, before we go, will you just introduce? I don't know most. I think you're not that known to that many people yet as to what you're doing at the Historical Society. If you could just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing there and how you came to us.
Okay, well, I'm the executive director at the Historical Society. I graduated from UNI with a degree in history in 2011, and then I moved to Ames and got a job at the Historical Society. And
how long have you been directing it there?
About a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm. So you've really been overseeing the creation of the History Center?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so
much.
Look forward to seeing you again. And we need a little music now because we're changing to our next guest, Jeannie Strodman, talking about an art exhibit coming up from Iowa Artists.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Susan Franson. And we were talking with Carolyn Claus and Casey Vance about the Ames Sesquicentennial and celebrations that will be happening this year to commemorate Ames's 150th anniversary.
But now we have one more guest with us, Jeannie Strodman, who has joined us from Iowa Artists, who are producing a regional exhibit which will showcase Central Iowa artists.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for being with us.
Yes.
Nice to be here.
Could you give us the official name of the show?
The official name is the Iowa Artists Area 6 Show.
Great.
The state of Iowa is divided into 12 areas, and Story County happens to be in Area 6.
And who else? What other counties?
We have Hamilton, Hardin, Poweshiek, Jasper, Marshalltown, or Marshall, and Story.
So the exhibit covers artists from everybody in Area 6 and all of
these counties.
Everybody
in Area 6, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this is really a Central Iowa,
right,
part of Iowa,
right,
exhibit.
Right. There are 232 members in the state, and we have about 32 in Area 6. So
is this an exhibit of members of your organization, or is this an exhibit?
This is an exhibit, all the members that are members for 2014,
mm-hmm,
and then they can, if they want to, join the day of the show.
Okay.
So anybody is welcome to enter. Used to be amateur Iowa artists, and then we decided that we would go with professionals also,
mm-hmm,
because it was sticky as to what an amateur was or what a professional was.
So describe your organization.
It was started by Jack Olds down in Des Moines, and that was in 1970. And he decided that adults ought to have some place to distribute or show their artwork instead of just painting at home and having no place to show it. So he started this organization. Dorothy Timmons from Ames was the first president. Mary Lou Wright did the newsletter, and so we sent it out to everybody, and it went from there.
And do you get together as artists?
We get together once a year for a regional show, and then the Blue Ribbon winners go on to the state show, which is going to be in Fort Dodge this year.
And do you do anything besides the show itself? You have other...
We always have a judge who is a professional artist. This year it's going to be James Engler from Des Moines area. And he will come in about 10:30. He will give a demonstration of his art and talk to the artists, so it's educational. And then in the afternoon, while everybody goes out for lunch, he will judge the pictures, and the blue ribbon winners go on to Fort Dodge, and he will critique the ribbon winners, plus, if he has time, all the rest of them. So it's a real good learning.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought that there were some classes associated with this, because when you talked to me about the Ames Brush Club, that was my impression. The Ames Brush Club
normally
was artists were painting together anyhow.
Right. The artists themselves generally get together in a group or separately. It doesn't make any difference. I do belong to the Ames Brush Club that meets on Monday morning, and we paint all morning. And most of them are members of Iowa Artists, but you don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And Richard Hagen, the distinguished art professor from ISU, used to have a class. So,
but Iowa Artists is really a show.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That is strictly a competition.
Competition.
Mm-hmm. Where you get to learn at the same time as you get to show off a little bit.
Yeah. And it's not a juried show, but it's a judged show.
It's a judged show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We let all original two-dimensional or three-dimensional art come in. It has to be your design. Can't be copied out of a magazine or anything. So it's open to all original entries. Mm-hmm.
So how many people usually show?
Well, I have about 50 pictures that will be in this year's show.
Mm-hmm.
It will be St. Andrews next Saturday, and it starts about 10 o'clock for viewing, and it'll go until 4 o'clock, and mm-hmm. that's free to the public. They can come through, they can walk, look at the pictures, listen to the judge's critique.
So you can listen to the critique?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds very interesting. How long does the critique period go? It must
go
for a while.
Well, it goes for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
They give out one ribbon, either blue, red, yellow, or white, for each 10 entries. So, like right now, we have 40, so we'll have 4 blue ribbons. So he will do... 2, 3, 4. He'll do about 20 critiques, and then if somebody's there and they want to know what their picture, you know, why he didn't choose it or what they did wrong.
So the critiques will happen in the afternoon after lunch?
Right.
Okay.
They'll start about 1 o'clock.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And is it true that someone can bring a work of art on the day of the show?
Yes. We're open to anybody that wants to bring. They do have to become members of mm-hmm. Iowa Artists mm-hmm. at that time.
Okay.
So there is a fee for that, but mm-hmm. They can join that day and enter the show.
Mm-hmm. So tell us again where the show is.
The show is at St. Andrews, which is 209 Colorado Avenue, right behind Colorado Junction.
In West Ames.
In West Ames.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open from 9 till 4.
Mm-hmm. Is there any place to contact if they have questions?
They could contact the church if they had questions, I think.
Are you showing yourself in the show?
Yes, I am.
What are you showing?
I have 3 paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Can
you tell us just a little bit about your paintings?
Well, I do a variety of things. So I have a scratch board, which is a little different. You take black paper, you scratch with an X-Acto knife until you get what you want. And I did a picture of myself knitting, not me, just my hands. And then I live out at Wessex, and we have swans. So I have done the swans on the lake, mm-hmm. and then I did roses.
Very nice. So, thank you.
But
thank you so
we
much.
Have modern art. I'm more realistic. I can't quite do that. Mm-hmm. But
do people use this show as a launch for other exhibition?
I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. Gwen Foster from Nevada is helping me with the show. And she had us come out to the Lincoln Corner for a farmer's market last mm-hmm. summer. And so we all went over there and we painted. And,
and do artists sell their work at this show?
They are for sale. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are all. A lot of them are not for sale because they have to be within the last 2 weeks or 2 years. And sometimes you get attached to them, then after a couple of years.
Well, yeah.
mm-hmm. So there's a lot of not for sales.
So tell us again, when is the show?
The show is next Saturday.
The
5th? The 5th of April.
5th of April.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
At St. Andrews. Yes, and we'd love to have a whole lot of people there.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming by and telling
thank
us.
You.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And we've been talking to Janine Strodman from Iowa Artists about their upcoming regional art show. And let's close down, Susan. We're running out of time.
Yes, we are.
And we've been talking to Janine Strodman.
Other guests were State Senator Herman Kurmbach, Carolyn Klaus, and Casey Vance. And now, Local Talk is engineered today by Rebecca Brown.
And our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
You can listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. And that's khoifm.org, where you will find an archive of all of our Local Talk shows that we've produced since we went on the air in 2012. Recent shows will be posted on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, can get the information. There you will find lists of our guests and links to the organizations and other resources mentioned on our shows.
And remember to mark your calendar to come to our grand opening on April 19th to celebrate the completion of our broadcast and recording studios. The party starts at 6 p.m. and goes until around 10 on the 19th of April at KHOI at 410 Douglas Avenue in downtown Ames.
We'd also like to hear your feedback, either by phone at 515-292-2878 or by email at khoiradio@gmail.com with news in the subject line. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.